Let's just, I mean, you know, we have some real questions about due process and so on. It seems to me that there are two elements of this case. One is the due process aspect. The other is the substantial evidence question.
Correct.
Which you can respond to that. I don't think we need to go over all of that now. Let's assume we agree with the first point about a lack of due process. Taking into account, this is not the same kind of due process you would have in a court hearing.
Sure.
We realize it's university setting. There's that Doe versus USC, whatever it is, and the
yes.
Kelly and Goldberg case. The
right.
U.S. Supreme Court, we're familiar with all of that. All right. So if we just get to that point, what happens?
Well, if the court...
What do we do if we agree with you on the first issue?
If the court agrees that...
There was a lack of due process.
There was a lack of due process and not a fair hearing.
Yeah.
I think the court, you know, orders the Superior Court to reverse its denial of our petition and to direct the university to vacate the findings that it reached.
And then what? What happens then?
Well, at that point...
Is there another hearing?
I think Judge Geck or whoever the Superior Court judge would be who receives your order would certainly have the option under CCP 1094.5 to order a new hearing.
Okay, now let me get to the second issue.
Sure.
Let's assume, and we'll talk about that. You've sort of hit upon that in your response to Justice Perrin's questions. Let's assume we decide there's a lack of substantial evidence. What happens then? What if we agree on both issues and we say there is no substantial evidence here? Do they get a second bite of the apple or what?
Frank,